Our final scripture reading comes to us from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. Let us now listen for God's word for us this morning. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. This worship series on Faces of Our Faith has given us some tough passages the past couple of weeks. We moved from last week's story, where Judas betrays Jesus with the kiss of death, to the horrific scene of that death that we often call the Passion of Christ. Today we have the passage that is often read during Holy Week on Good Friday as we move from the Last Supper to the cross and eventually the resurrection. And when we think about the Passion of the Christ, we often think of passion as something horrific. Passion as God's great suffering in this slow and degrading death. But Craig Coker argues that there is more than one way to see the Passion, that perhaps the Passion isn't just a horrific story about God's great suffering. Saying the word Passion is usually thought of in terms of God's suffering. However, there's another way to think of Passion, and that is connected to God's love. Fortunately, Luke spares us many of the gruesome details by simply saying they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, without getting into too much of the physical process. Instead, we catch a few glimpses of the various characters surrounding this horrific death. This story, often read on Good Friday, is a story of individual and corporate sin, betrayal, and abandonment of the priest and Pilate, the soldiers, and the bloodthirsty crowds, Peter and Judas, and the other disciples. Here we have people casting lots and dividing up Jesus' clothes. Soldiers and leaders mocking Jesus, saying, "Why can't the King of the Jews save himself?" Offering him sour wine. Even one of the criminals, also dying beside him, says, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But then we have the other criminal, the penitent thief, as our artist calls him, sticking his neck out, even in the face of death, rebuking the other criminal, admitting his own guilt for the crimes committed, admitting that they have been condemned justly and are getting what they deserve, but yet standing up for Jesus, saying, "This man has done nothing wrong." And ultimately acknowledging Jesus as the Christ, as the King of the Jews, by saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." As the crowds and soldiers and leaders all mocked Jesus and were ultimately putting him to death for claiming to be the King of the Jews, the penitent thief takes the risk of perhaps becoming a target for further suffering himself, At the risk of further pain and suffering, the penitent thief speaks out on Jesus' behalf, acknowledging Jesus as the Christ, as the King of Jews. Craig Coker says that the theology of Luke's gospel begins in the poverty of a stable and continues to narrate a world in which the mighty are knocked from their thrones, the lowly are lifted up, the hungry filled, and the rich sent away with nothing. Luke grounds the story of God's love in Jesus Christ with the forgotten of the world. Indeed, Luke ends this grisly Good Friday passage with a condemned and dying thief entering the paradise Jesus goes to prepare. At our Bible study this week, we spent a good bit of time reflecting on the question that artist Lyle Gwyn Garrity poses about the penitent thief. How did he know? How did this penitent thief know that Jesus was the Christ? Before he committed his crime, had he heard? Had he heard of the one who healed and loved and came to turn the world upside down? Or was it during the hike to Calvary Hill, the beams of the cross digging deep into his flesh, that he saw the crowd swelling for the one before him? Or was it while they nailed them in, the piercing hammer pounding his body to contort and heave, that he saw his neighbor in perfect silence, hanging as if weightless in the air? Or was it when he heard, "Forgive them, Father," the words pouring down like a warm bath? Or was it when the other mocked him, blood and hate and profane humanity spewing from his mouth, that the contrast made the divine palpable and quite easy to perceive? How did he know that the one dying alongside him was blameless? How did he know he was the Christ? And through our discussions, as we explored whether the penitent thief believed in Jesus before this moment ever happened, or came to believe somehow along the way to the cross or during the crucifixion itself, as we discussed the many possibilities for how the penitent thief came to believe, from the word spreading of his healing and love while he was out in the world, to the swelling crowds, to the silent acceptance of the painful cross, to the forgiveness shown to those full of hatred, to the stark contrast between the brokenness of humanity and the holy presence of the divine. As we talked about this, I think we all landed in the same place as Lyle Gwyn Garrity says. Regardless of how, he was convinced of it the way death makes all things clear. And so he told the truth about his own brokenness and the suffering Savior beside him, opening himself to redemption and pointing to the one who might bestow it. And that's how the passion of God's great suffering becomes the passion of God's love. Even when the lowest of the low, a person condemned to death for his crimes, acknowledges Jesus as blameless and as the Christ, the King of the Jews, God's passion turns from suffering to love. One thing we all noticed in the Bible study Tuesday while looking at the artwork on the front of our bulletins was the way the hand of the penitent thief seemed to be so relaxed. I imagine the hand of the other criminal didn't look like this. I imagine the other criminal, full of hate and anger, who mocks Jesus and would only believe in him if he saved him from imminent death. I imagine his hands are clenched tightly in a fist of anger, or perhaps open, wide, fighting to hang on for his life. Whereas the penitent thief, as he acknowledges Jesus as blameless and as the Christ, the King of the Jews, his hand seems to be relaxed, at peace, almost as if he has submitted and released himself. He's no longer focused on himself or hanging on to life in the present world like the other criminal, but he's focused on Jesus the Christ and the kingdom to come. As he says to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And even in the pain and suffering of crucifixion, the act of acknowledging Jesus as the Christ and focusing on the kingdom to come relaxes the penitent thief and gives him peace as he submits to Jesus and releases himself. And that's why Jesus responds to him saying, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And that's what Jesus says to each one of us as well. You will be with me in paradise. Just as Craig Coker says to the thief, he whispers the hope of eternity. On the cross, the passion of Jesus' suffering is surpassed by the passion of his redeeming love. Good Friday reveals that the only tenacity of God's love is greater than the tenacity of humanity's despair. In the suffering of the cross, God stakes his life with the lonely, the sick, the poor, the hurting, the brokenhearted, with all of us. Through the sweat and blood, the thorns and nails, the mockery and humiliation, the burning fire of God's love in Christ remains. For souls condemned and dying are precious in his sight. So as we think about the face of the penitent thief and the hands relaxed and at peace, may we all find it in ourselves to always acknowledge Jesus as the Christ so that we too can relax and be at peace, so that we too can submit ourselves and release ourselves to Jesus. As we say together, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And may we hear Jesus reply to each one of us every day, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen.